Welcome to Hype, episode 44. We are back with yet another exciting week. Seriously, I have to say that I really enjoy doing this show because the news stories are just getting so ridiculous and it's so much fun to talk about. So I say we just dive into it. My name is Selena and I have Pam and Maram here with me this week. And
All ladies.
Of course, Kyle is here bright and early. Hi, Kyle. Hi, guys. I just woke up. I'm super ready for this. Okay. Sorry, Kyle.
Wow, that was
it's
a great
funny.
Impression.
Thanks.
We're really sassy this morning, by the
I know.
By.
Yeah. It's a new recording time and might not be lasting. But we'll see how it goes. It's fine. We're going to start with news this week. And I was so excited because for the first time... For the first time, I have to stop making that joke. Since we relaunched the show, I finally got, like, everyone has a story, like, right after each other. Music, the movies and TV and everything is divided. Everything's fine. And then Kyle isn't here, so it's all gonna go kablooey. So that's unfortunate. But before we get into the news, let's just remind you that this show, of course, is for hypable.com, which is hypable.com. You can leave feedback either at the podcast post on the site, or you can tweet us at hypable or at hypable podcast. So there's lots of ways to get in touch with us. At the end of the show, we've put in some listener feedback, and we encourage you to keep sending it in because we'll have more to talk about on the show. Okay, so let's get started. I am proud to announce that Marama is not first this week. I worked very hard to make that happen. Pamela
I'm
has
protesting.
A story. Yeah, you should be. It's really unfair, but there you go. Pamela has a story which is exciting for all of our regular listeners.
Yes. First of all, I would like to apologize to my Australian bestie, Marama, for stealing her thunder. But I'm going to try and do your first place justice with this story.
Nothing beats J.K. Rowling.
Everybody's queen, J.K. Rowling, graced New York City with her presence earlier this week so that she could launch her organization Lumos in the United States. And she did this by lighting up the Empire State Building in this glorious purple and white color. You can see pictures of it up on hypable.com. We actually had two very lucky staffers that got to go to this event.
Only J.K. Rowling can get away with stuff like this.
I know. She just like waltzes in like a dream, you know? Like, holds a press conference on top of the Empire State Building. This is like my dream. I'm not even joking. So anyway, we had two very lucky staffers that got to go see her do this, and you guys should definitely head on over to hypable.com to read that story. But for now, we'll just give you guys a little bit of a recap in case you can't get to it right away. So for those of you that don't know, the organization that she has called Lumos was founded in 2005, and it aims to end the institutionalization of children in orphanages and other group facilities that might cause profound psychological, physical, and emotional damage in the long run. And she just, yeah, the press conference is just like, it's just like a nice little event. Like I said, we have the write-up on Hypable. And during it, she said that, first of all, that the cold didn't bother her anyway, pretty much. Cecilina, I got your back because she's from Scotland. but she said that Lumos is a spell that I created in the Harry Potter books to bring light to very dark and frightening places. I think it's obvious why we chose the name for our organization. At Lumos, we seek to shine a light on those children that have been shut away from the world, sometimes forgotten and worst of all separated from families who long care for them. At Lumos, we advocate and help create systems that support children within their families and their communities. So like I said, it was just a fun little like uplifting event, and we're all super jealous of our friends over at Hypable that actually got to go to this.
Yeah, Michal got a personal shout out.
Yeah, Michal's like BFFs with J.K. Rowling.
Oh, I know. Yeah, she got a tweet, like two tweets.
Yeah, she didn't even tweet at her, and she got a reply, and then she got another reply, and, like, what is even the point of living anymore?
Like, clearly she, like, this is true, because John, our other beloved staffer, did not get a reply, I don't think, because I was following this very closely, and I was like, man, like, Nicole, she's got the magic touch with Joe.
You know, I once actually saw J.K. Rowling. She came to Denmark, and I went to see her read from her book, and stood in line to get an autograph. And she was like, came up with her pen, and I was like, "Here's my book." And she like glanced at my book and glanced at me and walked on to the next person. So, yeah. Michal is clearly has something special.
What?
At least you made glorious eye contact.
I know. No. I was going to say I've never been in the same breathing space as J.K. Rowling.
But you know, it's like a personal shutdown. Kind of, it doesn't make you feel as good as you think it would.
I know, but I think I would be too busy like freaking out on the inside to even notice.
Yeah,
it was such a inconsequential moment.
But this is really
what you're
cool.
making it sound like.
I feel like you'd be disappointed if you met her and then she didn't immediately be like, "Let's be best friends."
Yeah, it's like, "Oh my god, you're clearly my biggest fan."
Seriously, like if you meet her and then she's like, "Okay, great, thank you," and you're like, "But wait, like we're soulmates. What's happening?" I would be definitely disappointed.
But we are absolutely happy for Michal, 100%.
Oh, definitely.
Genuinely.
Yes. We are at the same time.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought we were being passive aggressive. No, we are. We are. No.
Verma and I are going to shoot death glares at her at Comic Con.
Yeah. Yeah.
If no, but just kidding. We really do love you.
Yeah.
There's no animosity at Hypeable, just in case you guys are reading too much
just
into it.
Extreme jealousy.
Yeah. In a good way.
Exactly. Yeah. It's healthy jealousy.
Yeah.
Now, to add on to this, it would not be a J.K. Rowling press event if somebody did not ask her for the umpteenth time about Harry Potter 8. So, of course, the Today Show popped the question, and longtime host Matt Lauer asked if she was going to write a Harry Potter 8. And Joe kind of said the same thing that she always says, which is that she'll never say never, but it's really not happening right now. And my favorite part about this whole situation was that she ended it with, "But even as I answer that, I know someone's cutting this on YouTube to make it as though I gave you hope."
And then people did exactly that.
Exactly. As Andrew, who was also very sassy while he was writing this post, said that in the time that he wrote the post on Hypeable about this story, giving fans the hard cold facts, even if the truth might hurt a little bit, the Hollywood Reporter had already tweeted out a story saying that Rowling had teased a new Harry Potter sequel. Back from Peter to the Hollywood Reporter, I expected more from you.
You know, but if Hypeable has any sort of legacy in the history of the world ever, it's going to be that we continue to shut down these ridiculous reports.
Exactly. We tell it to you straight and exactly when you need to know it. So this is why you should be following Hypeable everywhere if you're not already. Mm.
And of course, you can continue to speculate that there's going to be some like prequel or something like that, because there's people going like, "Oh, but the way she worded it, blah, blah, blah. She was only talking about Harry, blah, blah, blah." But until we know, then let's just let her be. With her Robert Galbraith ultimate.
You know what? She writes better that way, or so I hear. I haven't gotten around to The Cuckoo's Calling.
I still haven't read it. Let's not talk about that.
I'm sure Merima has, though.
Yes, I have.
Yes. Speaking of J.K. Rowling.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yes. Oh, my God, guys. This is so exciting. And this, I just need to say that this definitely should have been the top news story.
Well, you know, I disagree. But we'll get into that.
Well, this is a hype dictatorship, obviously. But anyway, I'm just, you know, just showing my objection so that everyone is aware. Eddie Redmayne could be Newt Scamander. I don't know why this is more exciting than Matt Smith, like we talked about. The news came from Variety. Sources have told them that Nicholas Holt and Eddie Redmayne are both being considered by David Yates, but apparently Eddie Redmayne is the number one favorite. But the script hasn't been finished yet, so he hasn't actually read it, according to sources at The Hollywood Reporter. And then also we heard that they're going to be casting two sisters for Newt and their parents and someone called Jacob, because I guess Twilight sold
it has a lot, to so. Have a Jacob. Yeah,
J.K. Rowling's just taking some tips from that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I kind of would love to see Eddie Redmayne in this, and I don't know why. It's like not at all logical. I just would really enjoy it. But tell me why I'm wrong, Selena.
Okay, let me tell you why. You know, I what I think is funny. This story, I mean, first of all, for the sake of my organizing, it fits that, you know, we keep the J.K. Rowling stories together like this. I think it's interesting that we had this Eddie Redmayne sort of apparently confirmed that he's the favorite after the rumor of Matt Smith, because Matt Smith and Eddie Redmayne are actually pretty similar people. Like, you could imagine them going up for the same role, you know what I mean? Just in terms of their being who they are. And I think when I say that I don't want Eddie Redmayne in this role, I am perfectly aware of how hypocritical that is, because we don't know anything about this role, and Eddie Redmayne and Matt Smith are pretty similar, and they're both sort of high profile actors, but I kind of feel like, and again I'm saying this completely hypocritically, I feel like Matt Smith could give the part something that Eddie Redmayne, I feel so bad like making a judgment. I have no idea who Newt even is.
It's totally personal preference.
Right. And I'll just say that, like, Eddie Redmayne, he's a fantastic actor. He has an Oscar. We know he's capable. I would rather see someone who we know are capable, but who still has something to prove. And I feel like, you know, the other person, Nicholas Holt, I would much rather see someone like him up for this role, because I feel like if it's Eddie Redmayne, it would be Eddie Redmayne is Newt Scamander, you know? Whereas I would rather see, okay, Newt Scamander is this actor. If that makes sense.
Yes. I see what you're saying. See, I'm okay with either one of these options. Like, Eddie Redmayne, I feel, is the option that I didn't realize I needed in my life. But then I was like, yes, this could work.
Exactly.
This could work. Nicholas Holt, I just have such a soft spot for. A Boy is one of my all-time favorite movies ever. And he's just cute as a button in it as a child. And also because he was so good on Skins. I feel like America, if they haven't watched the first season of Skins, which if you haven't, like, what are you doing with your life? He's such a multifaceted actor and so much more than the roles that he's been given in America.
And he was in Warm Bodies, right? It was him?
He was in Warm Bodies.
He was so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just like that goes with my whole point. Like, he's such a multifaceted actor. I think I read somebody on Twitter said that he doesn't have the star power to carry this role, like, as I was scrolling through, like, the reactions on my feed, and I was just like, I don't know, I think he could do actually pretty well, because he's got a little cult following, and I'm sure dating Jennifer Lawrence, for example, would pique people's interest. Like, yeah, I'll go see that, or, like, I'll check that out. But, yeah, I mean, like, I feel like if these are, like, their two front runners, like, I'll be happy either way. Mm. Eddie Redmayne, as we already discussed, is a phenomenal actor. Is he funny, though?
Can he be
Eddie
funny?
Redmayne? I really, you know what, to be honest with you, I've been a fan of his for a really long time. I really like this movie he did called Hick it was an indie with Chloe Grace Moretz, and I think Blake Lively was in it, I want to say. But it's a much more like, he's kind of like this brooding cowboy type character in it. But if you haven't seen that yet, he's so good in it, and it's a very different role for him, than mainstream stuff.
But I feel like there's a lack of lightness that I just feel, personally, I just feel is missing that makes me go, I'm not sure this is going to be great.
But see, here's the thing. Then if you ever see him in, like, press conferences, like, he lights up a room. You know what I mean? Even on the red carpet. Yeah. He's so,
I think I interviewed him once. Hold on. Something's coming back to me.
What?
He was at the red carpet for the studio tour. I'm pretty sure I spoke to him.
Was he?
My memory is so bad that I forget these things.
Okay, you need to look back now if he's up for this role. And
yeah, this
just
is
do
important.
A new little story. This is
I definitely
important.
Took close-up pictures of him. I remember this. Priorities. I'll dig that up.
Selena, priorities.
Yeah. I disagree with, like, I understand what you're saying, but I disagree. I think Pam's right. Like, his personality, he could totally pull off, you know, a sort of fun, like, whimsical but serious whatever role. Jupiter Ascending is the most ridiculous and the worst movie I have ever seen.
But he takes it very seriously, though.
In my life. Like, I can't overstate this. It's so bad. And he is hysterically terrible in that. And I feel like he must know that it was, you know, he's basically doing, like, a Voldemort impression throughout it. So,
what if he thought it was really serious, though?
Right.
You know, we can't help the parts that we do before we get super famous, okay?
Right.
He probably signed on, like...
Yeah, I think, like, honestly, any of these three, like Nicholas Holt, I wouldn't underestimate his star power. He's starring in Mad Max, the remake. He's in the X-Men franchise. Like, you know, he's building up a pretty good name for himself. Obviously, Matt Smith, we know from Doctor Who. And then, I mean, I think the thing for me is I've been watching a lot of Eddie Redmayne projects lately, so I'm just, like, kind of in that place of Eddie Redmayne.
Right.
But I would just really love to see a really fantastic, like, he's an Oscar-winning actor. He was amazing in The Theory of Everything, and I would just kind of love to see an actor of that, like, caliber. Not to say that Matt Smith or Nicholas Holt aren't, but Eddie Redmayne certainly is, like, at a very high level. I would love to see them, like, take on a Harry Potter project. Like, that's just exciting for me.
And I'm absolutely not going to judge anyone, like, until I see them in the part. Like, I can have sort of gut reactions when I hear these things, but I'm not going to say, he's going to be a terrible Newt, because I don't know. We don't know who Newt is. We cannot
or
physically judge.
Who is going to play Jacob?
I mean, my goodness. That's a real question. Yeah, and who is Jacob? Nobody cares.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. Is he a werewolf? That's the real question. But here's some news that I do have opinions on, and I just, another week, another Disney remake. I feel like at this point, it's not even worth talking about that much. Disney has this week chosen to announce that they are developing a live-action Pinocchio. And I guess the only thing that's really worth discussing in this case is that it's quote-unquote loosely based on the original Pinocchio story. So what we're looking at here is kind of the same as with Winnie the Pooh, that they're not just going to adapt the movie. They're going to go back to the original story and they're going to do some kind of different take on it. And now I still feel like Pinocchio is one of those stories that's been told a million times, and most recently in Once Upon a Time. And I sort of feel like when something has been told in Once Upon a Time, it's done. Like, you can't do anything as ridiculous as what they do anyway, so you might as well give up. But yeah, I mean, it's just yet another remake. Do you guys have any thoughts on this?
Boring.
Yeah.
I'm
uninspired, I guess.
This is so ridiculous. Like, it's since we restarted, we, like, revamped Hype. We did, like, a Hype remake. Yes. And then, like, literally every week there are, like, three or four of these projects announced. And it's just insane at this point. And I feel like I'm not at all surprised by anything they could announce now. Like, nothing can shock me.
No.
Because Pinocchio, that just seems so ridiculous. But, like, they're going to just announce... I mean, they've already announced Dumbo, so...
Nothing can be more ridiculous.
Ridiculous of all.
Yeah.
The bar is pretty low. I'm waiting for the live action Bambi.
Yeah, that's
going to
happen.
You know what? I want
that
to happen exactly how it happened on SNL. Exactly.
Yes, that's it.
I will pay full price to see that movie.
I mean, yeah, at this point, do we think they're just going to adapt everything? Like, are we looking at Aladdin and Lion King and all of these Aristocats?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Lion King. I'm not sure.
Like the musical.
Oh my god,
that would be great.
Sorry. Yeah,
but yeah, I'm kind of surprised they haven't announced Aladdin yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they have, and it just got like mixed up with all of the others. I honestly don't know at this point.
But of course, that's not the only remake. This one is about the Beauty and the Beast, who I'm going to say this is one of the better ones just in terms of casting. This was originally supposed to be Kyle's story, but...
Yeah, everyone can quit now because the Beauty and the Beast has won the casting lottery.
Yep.
Sir Ian McKellen, I should say, is joining the cast. He's going to be playing Cogsworth, who's like that little clock.
It's completely
like,
ridiculous.
Really uptight. That really uptight, like tightly wound. Okay, good clock humor. Yeah, it's going to be, I basically don't even care what happens with this film at this point because Ian McKellen, I just want him to play every role in everything.
It's just so cool.
Yeah,
the people they get for this movie, it's just...
And now I see everyone wants Sir Patrick Stewart, to play Lumiere, which, like, is equally as ridiculous as this, but I would be so on board with that. Like, this is the so random.
Yeah,
I can't... But I really want to see the behind the scenes of him doing, like, the voice or whatever. Because, I mean, there must be sections of this where he's just voicing characters.
Of course, and, yeah. I wonder if they're going to put him in full green screen costume, you know, Andy Serkis style, yeah.
Well, he'd be up on all the techniques, so, you know. Actually, they should get Andy Serkis to play, like, all of those characters.
Yeah.
doing like the green screen, yeah, the live action.
That he should just be the castle.
Yeah,
that's the next casting announcement.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
So let's stay on the remake train here.
So yes, remake train. I'm sorry to bring up yet another remake story, but I feel like this one needs to be told, if only for my nostalgia's sake. Mm-hmm. Weinstein Company announced earlier this week that they are talking about greenlighting a remake of the 90s classic She's All That, which of course stars 90s Dreamboat Freddie Prinze Jr. and the late Paul Walker. This is a very interesting.
Oh, he was in
there, wasn't he? He was. He's the douchebag jock, pretty much. I was going to say quarterback, but they actually play soccer in this movie.
Yeah.
So, of course they do. Yes. So Freddie Prinze Jr. is the star soccer player. And then Paul Walker is his douchebag friend that bets him that he can't make, like, the loser of the school prom queen. And Freddie Prinze Jr. is like, I will take that bet. And enter Rachel Lee Cook and the iconic walking down the stairs.
Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Oh, shoot. I blanked on the song. Kiss Me. There it is. Mm-hmm. Sixpence is Kiss Me. So, yeah, this is very interesting. And obviously, since it's such a big movie from the 90s, like this big teen rom-com, there are obviously a bunch of people that are excited about this. There's obviously a bunch of people that aren't.
I love the reaction to this. It's like out of every remake, you know, we've been saying for months, oh my God, they're remaking everything. Then it comes to like She's All That, and suddenly everyone's like, no, they've crossed the line.
I know. That is pretty funny. Although things. I will say that, like, in defense of not doing this, there are a lot of movies that have come out with similar plot lines, like, exactly like the Duff, hot guy makes the loser girl a hot girl.
Yeah.
You know, and more accepted. So, yeah, I mean, like, in that respect, I would be, like, just like, well, it's not fun because it's not a plot line that we don't see often in Hollywood already. But on the other hand, I'm just like, yeah, if you want to redo that, that might be okay. Although, I will say, if you've never seen the original, like, you should go see the original because it's really cute.
I haven't seen it.
Enjoy it. Oh, you should watch it. It's adorable.
It was one of those really sexist, so I feel like I would get mad at
it. It's very sexist. Yeah. It's very much a product of its time.
Although, if you want to see the flip side of that, you could watch Drive Me Crazy, starring a young Adrien Grenier, who is the geeky guy, and Melissa Joan Hart, who remakes him into a hot guy.
Perfect.
So there you go.
That's
see,
exactly
Hollywood showed both sides to the story in the 90s. Clearly.
Yeah, Hollywood is so balanced. That's so true.
Yeah. What are we talking about? Gosh.
Anyway, that's pretty much all I have to say about that. I don't know if you guys had thoughts on it.
No, only that it's so dumb. Like they can remake anything, and they're probably going to, but it's just so stupid. Like, we don't need another She's All That, because guess what? It already exists. And as you said, there's been updated versions. This is some commenters pointed out on Hypable. I mean, this is basically Pygmalion evolved. Like, you know, and everything that's followed, it's Pygmalion becomes My Fair Lady, becomes Pretty Woman, and there's the Selfie TV show, and there's The Duff, and it's just, we've seen the story done before.
That's true.
It's just so pointless, but I guess that's all there is to say. Everything's pointless, guys. Life is just not worth it.
All right. Well, let's go from remakes to sequels for a second. I'm sure we'll have more remakes to talk about, but this is super exciting. This was actually this is actually pretty exciting this week. This is so exciting. The Incredibles is like my favorite animated movie. Oh no, Howl's Moving Castle. It's certainly my favorite Pixar movie. But The Incredibles came out all the way back 11 years ago in 2004, if you can believe that. And we are finally getting Incredibles 2. Brad Bird, who is the director and who wrote the screenplay, has confirmed he is finally working on the screenplay, which is weird because he told us last year, like a year ago, like, yeah, we're definitely making the sequel. So I guess he was thinking about it, and now he's like, I should probably write that. But I'm very excited to see that everyone else shares my enthusiasm for this, because The Incredibles is a masterpiece of cinema, and we deserve a sequel.
For
end
sure.
of rant.
For sure. This is The Incredibles is amazing. And again, I mean, I will take sequels any day over remakes because at least it's a new story. So yeah, there's nothing but excitement, I think, about this.
Yeah. And I think I kind of hope they do what they do with Toy Story, where they do like the time jump. You know, they don't just pick it up straight after, because then like the kids would be more grown up and we would see like what's maybe them taking over or something. I don't know. It's so exciting. I'm so excited about this.
Yay. It is. It's nice. And it's nice that we have stuff to be excited about, you know, like I feel like we take a break out from being like, oh, another remake, to being like, oh my God, this is so cool. And you have The Incredibles. I have the Play-Doh movie.
Oh my God.
Which I just cannot be more excited about.
Stop the press.
Oh my goodness. And you, there's so many stories to choose from this week. And I just held on to this from like the very first day after we recorded last episode, because there was nothing that would top this, in my opinion. So here's the story of how this went for me. I saw this news. It was a few days after April Fool's. So I thought, oh, obviously this is a joke. And then I realized it was not a joke. And my first thought was, well, I mean, this is just proves that the apocalypse is nigh. Like, this is the end of the world. But then I realized if such a ridiculous thing as a movie about Play-Doh is really being considered, we're really reaching a new era of humanity where anything can happen. And that is actually pretty exciting to me. Yeah, it's a Bridesmaids director, Paul Feig, is allegedly in talks to direct this movie about Play-Doh. If you don't know what Play-Doh is, it's a Hasbro's children's toy that's basically this moldable dough that you push through a machine and then like star shapes come out and you mold it and usually you make food with it. There's absolutely no way that this could become a movie, but then that's what they said about Lego Movie or Battleship, which we all know what a great hit that was. So I mean, it's just it puts the world of entertainment into a new perspective for me. And I just really hope they do something completely ridiculous with this, like a noir movie starring Play-Doh that like molds through keyholes and solves crimes. I don't know. Thoughts?
I just had like a bit of a brainwave, which was I was trying to remember who was in Battleship. And then I remembered that was the movie that Rihanna was in. And then I remembered that Liam Neeson was in that. And then I remembered that Liam Neeson was in the Lego movie. So I feel like Liam Neeson should also be in the Play-Doh movie. And it should be like he should do his speech. And that would be great.
Yes. I will mold you.
Yeah. This is the dumbest news story I have ever heard in my life.
It's so stupid. But it becomes brilliant.
I love your enthusiasm. Yeah.
It is literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
But the problem with this news story is that you know they're going to have to make it exciting and action-packed like the Lego movie was for it to be a hit. But, like, really all I want is, like, little Play-Doh blobs and, like, a story of, like, love and devotion and adorableness, you know? And I want a Pixar short. Like, yeah. I want it to make me cry within, like, the first...
I want like yellow and blue to mold green. Together and make green, and then they're like, we're a family. And,
That is the like plot of a Pixar shot. 100%.
I know. That's what I want, though. That's what I want from this. But it will never happen.
That would be so cute.
Anything can happen, Pam, in a world where a Play-Doh movie is in development.
And Rocky Horror Picture Show remakes are
oh, God, yes.
Oh, can't even talk about it. No, it's too much.
Nope.
All right, so moving from the amazing world of movie to the bizarre world of television, where a huge announcement rocked the Vampire Diaries fandom. Pam, do you want to take this one?
Of course. Again, this was we want to give credit to Kyle for picking this story, even though he's not here. Aww. He is our resident TVD expert on this show. So Vampire Diaries lead actress Nina Dobrev shocked the world, or at least the fandom of TVD, when she announced via Instagram, of all places, that she was leaving at the end of this season. So this is a bit of a shock to fans, obviously, because the season is not far off from being finished. So, of course, the question is, what is next for the show. How is her story arc going to end? And where does the show go from here? So it's a pretty long-winded goodbye that she wrote, which I thought was really nice because, you know, it's nice when they start to take time out of their schedules to write, you know, heartfelt response to fans. So in the response, I'm just going to try and sum it up and maybe just read a couple highlights here. She had been posting pictures of what everybody thought was a rap party. A bunch of the actors went on a lake retreat in Georgia, and everybody, like I said, everybody assumed it was a rap party. And then she comes out and says that it actually wasn't a rap party, but it was also a goodbye party for her. And she justified leaving by saying, I always knew I wanted Elena's story to be a 6-season adventure. And within those 6 years, I got the journey of a lifetime. I was a human, a vampire, a doppelganger, a crazy immortal, a doppelganger pretending to be a human pretending to be a doppelganger. I got kidnapped, killed, resurrected, tortured, cursed, body snatched, was dead and undead. And there's still so much more to come before the season finale in May. Elena fell in love not once, but twice with two epic soulmates. And I myself made some of the best friends I'll ever know and built an extended family I will love forever. So she also teased that she would be giving a more exclusive interview in the June issue of Self magazine. So I guess everybody's going to have to wait for that to hear some more extended thoughts from her.
How much money do you think they paid for that?
A lot. They must have been sitting on this news for months. It must have been killing them. So, yeah, that is the end of that. Of course, fans are kind of wondering, again, like I said, where the show is going to go from here. But fans are... of the TV show that have read the book, were also quick to point out to us that she actually dies in the books.
Sorry. Oh, spoiler. Jeez, Pam.
I know. So these books that came out like a decade ago.
I know.
Right?
Gosh.
So I guess her leaving in the grand scheme of things, if they go with some of the storylines from the book, wouldn't be that big of a deal. But Selena, I know that you... have been known to watch Vampire Diaries from time to time.
It's happened a few times.
How do you feel about this news?
I think Nina Dobrev is making a very smart decision. I hope that she does well. Usually when actors leave TV shows early, unfortunately, it doesn't work out that well for their careers. But I think she's a great actress. I wish her all the best. I stopped watching The Vampire Diaries 2 years ago, so I can't really fault her for leaving. I think the show should have ended 2 years ago. I used to be a really big fan. Like, I've never thought it was the greatest TV show in the world, but I really enjoyed watching it. And then I stopped watching it because I thought it started treading water and it started getting ridiculous. And without Elena, it's going to be pointless. Like, none of these characters, I feel, could carry the show. Even though a lot of fans don't like Elena that much, I think they need Elena to center all the stories. You know, she is whatever she is in the book, she's definitely the main character of the TV show. The writers have made very, very sure that all storylines always hark back to Elena. Even when it's like starts out being about Caroline or Stefan or something, it always ends up being about Elena. That's like the format. So I guess in that way, you know, it'd be interesting to see what they do without her. But I think it should have ended. It's dumb. And you know, I want to say I actually really did like Elena on the show. So, but you know, I mean, I can't really say that much about what's happening now because I haven't watched it for 2 years. I wish Kyle was here to talk about it.
I like that she announced on Instagram because I'm just waiting for when people start making their like press statements on, I don't know, Snapchat or something.
Oh my god, like, could you imagine?
Or Vine, they've already done it on Vine.
Right.
Yeah, but you're right, Mirma, because I follow her on Instagram and I almost scrolled past this and then I was like, why is this comment so long? Like, I needed to know. And then I clicked on it and I was like, holy crap. And at first I didn't understand if she meant like the whole show was ending after 6 seasons. But then as I read it,
I realized, don't you think it should?
Gone. I do. I think like especially like Mirma said, from an outsider's perspective, like her story arc sounds crazy. And the way that she wrote it, I'm sure she didn't mean to say it this way or for it to come off this way, but it shows you how like done
ridiculous
she is. You know, it's like I'm trying to lessen the blow here, but yes, ridiculous. Like, there's nowhere else for Elena to go. That's true.
Yeah. there's literally nowhere with this character. Like, I could understand why she would say, yep, that's it, I'm done, because she's played everything and it's been a wonderful role for her to like flex her acting muscle, because I mean, I feel like she probably has the most fun out of anybody on set or used to, because there are episodes where she's playing three different people, two different people. And that must have been a wonderful journey, but I definitely think she's very smart to leave it the way it is.
I agree. I just wish the whole thing was ending.
It's been renewed, right?
Yeah.
I believe so. I believe so. Oh,
that's interesting.
Mm. Yeah. But maybe, I was just going to say, maybe it will give other characters the opportunity to step forward.
I mean, the only thing that could really make it fresh and interesting would be if they pulled, an American Horror Story and took it out of Mystic Falls and put, Bonnie in charge or Damon, or just took the show in a completely different direction, you know what I mean? Because the thing is that it's not just Elena's story that's played out, it's everybody's story that's played out at this point. And I have actually watched a few episodes from this latest season, and them sort of leaving Bonnie stuck in, that ghost world for half a season, and bringing back Damon and Stefan's mother. Like, every mother and, parent on the show has died and come back to life at least once, and it's sending off Jeremy, and Matt hasn't been relevant since never. So it's just, I wish they would. And Julie Plec clearly has a lot of other projects that she's really into right now, not least the originals. So it's unfortunate that they were renewed, but unless they do something really huge and use the fact that she's leaving to say, okay, let's just hit the refresh button, really, not like they've said they've done before and then they haven't really done it, then it's not going to be good. And I think most fans agree. But let's enough talk about stuff that we haven't, we're not really qualified to talk about. This is cool. This is a bit of good news.
So continuing with the TV news, fans of Orange is the New Black also had a good week, because Netflix finally released a full length trailer for the upcoming season 3. And this trailer is just so much fun. It's a really good, meaty 2-minute preview of what's to come. And all our old favorites are back in this clip. You have Alex and Piper and Crazy Eyes and Red and everybody you could ever want. Tasty. All those wonderful people. And then we also get a little bit of a glimpse of the new inmate, Stella, who's kind of got this smirky, sexy wink to give to Piper, who doesn't look like she hates it. So it's definitely looking like it's going to be another fun season for the Women of Litchfield. And in case you guys aren't really sure what's going on, we're going to recap the synopsis for season 3 for you guys so you know what to expect. So that reads as follows. The Women of Litchfield unapologetically return for the third coming. With a crisis of faith and their beliefs and loyalties being tested, each character must decide what and who to believe in. So it sounds like it's going to be a very intense and also funny season. Did any of you guys watch Orange is the New Black, or is it just me on this?
I don't, unfortunately.
I don't know why I haven't watched it. Everyone told me I would love it.
You probably
know what? I think I'm just intimidated by it because there's too many episodes to catch up on now. You know what I mean? You get to that point where you're like, oh, I can't start it because I'm too far behind. I just need a good sick weekend. Yes. Just with the flu. I just need a good flu, and then, I'll get into this. Because
you know
I've
what?
Read the book, actually, that it's based on.
Oh, wonderful. It'd be so cool for you to, watch it now, because you could totally do one of those, things that are different from the book to TV adaption type situation.
Yeah, Marima, do it for the site.
Yeah, do it for the good of Hypeable.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But you know what, to be honest with you, that's how I feel about House of Cards. Netflix definitely has some wonderful programming, and we'll be gushing about some of the new stuff later on in this episode. But yeah, as a fan of this show, I'm definitely really excited for June to come so that I can sit down and marathon season 3 with everybody else.
I feel like I could definitely watch the 2 seasons before June. That is doable.
Yeah, and they're not that long. I think they're only 12 or 13 episodes or something. Maybe not
even.
I think
13. Netflix,
yeah.
I used 13.
Netflix, exactly. Season, releasing full seasons at once really intimidates me. I see a new season, I'm like, oh god, it's like a chore.
Honest with you, it intimidates me too, because I feel like I have to rush through them so that I can talk about it with everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I can't just, nobody can really go at their own pace anymore, at least not with the people that we converse with on a daily basis, you know. So it's like none of this no spoilers. It's like, there are going to be spoilers like within 2 weeks. So you better, you better catch up if you, you want to, you know.
Yeah. I feel like that's the downside. Like Netflix is really great. I kind of love that approach that they have where they release it. Oh, it's really interesting. But yeah, it also means like even say House of Cards, I haven't watched the third season yet, which is weird because I am obsessed with that show. Like I loved the first two seasons, but I feel like I watched the second season so long ago now because I watched it when it first came out that I'm just like, I feel sort of disconnected from the show, mm-hmm. you know, because you kind of watch it all in one go and it's like a, I don't know, it's like watching a movie series or something versus like a TV really show.
Long, yeah.
Yeah. And you kind of just race through it and it's really hard. People are like, oh, but episode like 8 was amazing. And you're like, episode 8, like it's all just one giant episode in my brain. I could not differentiate between them.
It's like,
so
true.
So it's kind of the flip side of the Netflix phenomenon, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You know, maybe we're all crazy.
We're old.
Yeah. Yeah, that is such an old person thing to say. Because we're like, oh, like
I wish the good old days.
I kind of came off. We just can't marathon like we used to. Well, I'll have things to say about that later when we talk about some more Netflix things. But just keeping on the TV theme for now, Marvel fans had some good news this week as well because there is an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff coming. ABC has one in the works. This, of course, is why we still don't have confirmation that Agent Carter is coming back for season 2.
Yeah, is this really good news?
Well, you know, I feel like people are kind of split about it. It's not really surprising because, like DC, there's the Arrow, Flash, and then Supergirl is coming, kind of series that's happening over there. So Marvel seems to be building their own little TV world. What's weird about it is that they still have four more series to come on Netflix because they have this deal with Netflix. So I don't
Which
know,
one
maybe,
now?
Like Marvel oh, have series, a deal with okay, the right. Netflix series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they still have, like, four more shows to come. And, you know, like, Daredevil could very well be back for a season two. And, like, many of those shows could be renewed for season two. So, I don't know. Some fans are a little worried about it. We don't know who it's going to focus on yet. I think that will be the key point because Agent Carter was so good because everyone really responded well to that character and really loved that character. So, you know, if they find a similar focal point that really resonates with people, I don't think they're going to be complaining about getting more time with them.
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I as someone who watched 5 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before, like, realizing, because I always feel like there's so many shows and I have to feel like I'm getting something out of a show to bother spending my time on it, and I felt like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was fun and whatever, but it didn't feel very personal to me, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel very special. And then came Agent Carter, which I kind of felt like it was a little bit formulaic as well, but as a lot of people have said, Peggy herself was so great that I felt like it gave me a reason to keep watching. So I feel like they're now trying to do another spin-off where I'm thinking, you know, maybe, like, I would much prefer them focusing on Agent Carter and actually making that work as opposed to doing yet another spin-off of something that I don't feel is very special.
Well, I have to say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. really, really progressed.
Yeah,
I know everyone says that, but it really did progress, especially in the second season. Mm-hmm. The first season was rocky. Everyone would agree with that. But, you know, Arrow had a really rocky first season. And The Flash was very strong because they had learnt their lessons from Arrow. So Agent Carter, I agree. It sort of had a little bit of the formulaic thing, but in general was a much stronger open than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had because they learnt their lesson. So, you know,
so I would just rather stay with characters I know as opposed to getting yet new characters that I have to sort of think, am I going to bother caring about these people?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that, like, this spinoff would focus around a main character that we currently have on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because there were some new characters introduced in season 2 who are really big fan favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So I could definitely see it working around some of them. But I don't know. You know, I was very impressed with Daredevil, which we'll talk about later. So I kind of have more faith in Marvel's TV shows now than I did, like, 15 hours ago when I hadn't watched any of it.
So, yeah, I will give them the benefit of the doubt. But, of course, I really hope they renew Agent Carter in addition to this, because that was just so fantastic. Yeah, and I love that.
Absolutely.
So much. I think that's mainly what's concerning people. If Agent Carter had already been renewed, people would be really excited about this. But because it hasn't been, they're worried exactly, it's going to be instead of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was sort of getting at, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple of more news stories, and then you'll get to talk about...
Yes.
Daredevil, don't worry about it. Finally. Not Daredevil. Yes, Daredevil. I always get them mixed up.
Yes.
So my final news story of the day is Doctor Who, another fan favorite show. Stephen Moffat has said that he expects the show, or he's been in talks with BBC, that the show will last at least another 5 years, which is a pretty big deal in itself. Do you guys what? Oh, yeah, of course you do. I don't know why I'm asking. I know Merrima probably has some strong thoughts about this with regards to Stephen Moffat. We had a really good article by Laura on Hyperbole, which basically took us through what Laura and probably a lot of the rest of us feel the show needs to do in order to succeed. Obviously, Doctor Who, the fact that it's Doctor Who will bring in viewers, but I think I'm one of the people that felt like the past season has really lacked some of the charm of earlier series. Like, unlike Merrima, I actually really enjoyed Stephen Moffat's early years as showrunner. I felt like the whole Amy, Dr. Rory thing worked really well. I loved the... I don't remember if it was series 6 or 7. It must have been 6. The mystery that ran through that year I thought was extremely strong. And the characters stood out. Like, they really resonated with me. I really cared about them. I've never been a fan of Clara. I hope they change her. I'm willing to give Capaldi another chance, even though, he hasn't really struck me as any... Like, you know, like, you need to care about characters in order to bother watching them every week. He hasn't really hooked me in yet, but with another companion... I think that's going to be fine. But 5 more years, I mean, what could they do with that? And will Moffat stay on for all of those years?
Please, no. Take him away. There's talk about something that needs a reboot, like Doctor Who. I have to say, actually, I'm very sad to announce that I don't watch it anymore because I just couldn't do it. Like, it was just making me too sad.
When did you stop? Because I also stopped.
I watched, like, three or four episodes, I think. And I was like, no, I'm done with this. Because really, for me, the only season of Moffat's that I enjoyed was Matt Smith's first season, which I think was was a strong season and was a good season. And then really from there, it's gone downhill. Like, you know, I can kind of give Doctor Who a pass on the story being a little... jumbled, shall we say, you know, taking some leaps. I really, Stephen Moffat's writing and portrayal of women, like, has just made me too angry to watch it. I just wasn't enjoying it at all. So, yeah, I had to stop watching it, which is really sad because I grew up on Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. So, personally, for me, I would love to see the show run another 5 years with a different showrunner, and then I will come back to it. And also, you know, I would agree with you. I think Clara is probably the second worst character on the show ever, only second to River Song, who I can't even talk about or I'll throw something.
Oh, thank you. I don't like her either.
Yeah, she's like, the worst
unpopular
female character,
opinion,
like,
but I've never liked her.
Written, yeah. Basically.
I didn't like her, and Clara, I didn't like Martha. And then Clara was. Yeah,
no,
I didn't like Martha.
I'm totally team Martha.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Clara's not good, and I didn't find Capaldi, like, very watchable, not very engaging. I think he's a fantastic actor, but he just hasn't been given anything to do.
He feel like he draws you in.
No, he's not likable. Mm-hmm. And I know that seems, like, ridiculous because obviously you don't have to like a character to, like, enjoy watching them, but I feel like you need to like the Doctor.
Yeah, you do. You have to be on his team. You have to care.
Yeah. You have to be on his side, and I'm not on Capaldi's side. And obviously, like, you know, I'm definitely not on Moffat's side, so that colours my experience of it somewhat. But I agree with a lot of the points that Laura made in this article. Yeah, I think the show has been sort of on a downhill slope for a while now, and that doesn't seem to be as unpopular of an opinion as it was at the start of Moffat's Rain as showrunner when it was very like controversial to say, oh, I don't really like what he's doing with it. It seems that that seems to have become a more vocal part of the Doctor Who fandom now. So, but I don't know, you know, he obviously brings in the ratings and he's got Sherlock and, you know, someone in the BBC seems to like what he's doing. So I'm sure he'll just keep on going and it will be terrible.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, this obviously isn't Who Hype. You can listen to Who Hype, Hypeable's podcast for Doctor Who if you want more Doctor Who talk. But I'll just, I guess it's funny. It's funny because I feel kind of the same way you do about female characters, but I completely disagree with you guys about River Song. I actually really, really like, and we don't have to get into it now, but I think she did. So we just, I think it's just, you know, you just, you notice different things about a character and that's what you hold on to and you'll forgive them for certain things and, or you'll hate them for certain things. I really like River Song. I like Martha. If she hadn't been, like, following the Doctor around, being in love with him, I thought she would have been great. But unfortunately, she did. And I hated that. Clara, in my opinion, is just not working. And it's not even her personality. It's the fact that her personality is moldable, again, going back to Plato, based on what the episode needs. And that's what I can't get behind. I can forgive a character for being a lot of things, but not, like, a character has to be consistent, and I feel like she's not. And I feel like I don't know what to expect from her from episode to episode. And then plus that plus Capaldi, who hasn't hooked me in, just meant that I think I gave it 5 episodes, and then I was like, I'm going to catch up eventually, I told myself 5 months ago.
Yeah, it's really sad.
It's unfortunate, yeah.
To, like, cut off a show like that, but sometimes you just reach that point.
You do, you really do. And again, you know, with 5 more years, I mean, they're gonna have a new companion eventually, right? So we can just check back in then, I guess.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm probably not gonna tune in until they get a new showrunner, honestly. Mm. Unfortunately,
I really did like the 50th though. I thought that was a really good episode. You didn't like it? Oh no.
Like, it was all right. I mean, it didn't make a great impression on me. Like, I thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't the worst thing that Stephen Moffat has done. Like, I could talk about this forever.
Yeah,
you know what? If you Google it, I've written approximately 1,000 articles about why Stephen Moffat is the worst human. So, like, you can just go and read that and I will stop talking.
Yeah. But, yeah, again, listen to Hypeable's Who Hype. I think we've all been guest hosts on that at one point or another. Have you, Pema?
You know what? I was supposed to be a host, a guest host. And then I got sick, so that's probably the only podcast I haven't been on. Yeah. Now it's too late because I, too, have stopped watching Doctor
Who. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
How many episodes did you give it?
You know what? I cut out before the 50th, and I just have not been bothered. I can't be bothered to get back yet. But
I think it was
I probably will.
There was the mechanical Robin Hood that got me. I was like, no, I'm not.
I think that may have been my last one as well.
Anyway,
I don't even know what this means, and I'm like, no more.
No more.
I shall not pass.
Yeah. All right, so our final news story before we move on. This was supposed to be Kyle's as well, so I really apologize. I have no idea what this is about. I do. I'm just kidding. I know everything. Trust me with your news. The HBO has launched HBO Now, which is basically their digital streaming service, which allows you to sign up for the premium cable channel without a cable subscription from your television/internet company. I totally did not read that from the article. As far as I can tell, this is only available in America and maybe in the UK as well. It certainly is not available in Denmark here.
Or Australia.
No. So that's why I'm like, meh. Basically, what it's supposed to be like an alternative to HBO Go, which I find strange because here, I don't know about in Australia, but here you can sign on to HBO Go without signing on for the channel because the channel doesn't exist here. So for me, this doesn't make much of a difference in my life. What it does do is maybe provide people who haven't signed on for HBO Go to get a month's free subscription, which means you can watch the first 5 episodes of Game of Thrones Season 5, which we'll get into later. But it's interesting.
It's clever. Like, they're just making... HBO are very, very smart about making their content accessible.
I think so, too.
And, you know, they give people different options so that... like people find a way to get to it. You know, obviously this helps with like piracy and things like that. And, you know, I mean, I think it's really clever of them. Obviously it would be super great if like I could purchase that.
Yeah, me too. It's basically just many, many ways, like Netflix we talked about last week. They're trying to make legally obtaining their products so easy that you won't bother with piracy, which I think is the best strategy that these people could possibly employ. So it's a good move.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing I love about HBO is that they release episodes on the East Coast at the same time they do on the West Coast. So, like, you can watch, like, even on TV, you can watch Game of Thrones at, like, for Californians, like, 6 p.m., which is 9 p.m. On the East Coast. And I love that because, like, if you're somebody like me, I always want to, like, chime in on the Twitter conversations and stuff like that. And it's so impossible to do with some of these other shows or even award shows. It's just getting to be ridiculous. You know what I mean? So I love that HBO does this and that it this new feature will also let you do that too. Because, like, you know, the story says that, like, you'll be able to access everything at, on Eastern Standard Time, which is great for people in on the West Coast or Mountain Time or in the center of America, you know. So,
yeah. And of course, like, we're now on the day, the morning of the day when Game of Thrones season 5 premieres, so we're sure some of you will be taking advantage of that later today. Gosh. Okay, so before we move on, really briefly, there was a lot of big news stories on Hypeable this week, and of course we chose the ones that we felt particularly inclined to talk about. plus minus the stories that Kyle put in. We apologize for that. But there were some other stories that we just briefly want to mention that you can check out on Hypeable. Star Trek 3, say that 10 times fast, has cast Sophia Boutella as its female lead. And that doesn't mean that Zoe Saldana will not also be a female lead, just to clarify. She was really cool. She appeared in Kingsman earlier this year. I think she's a really interesting choice. Star Wars, the movies, all six movies, will finally be released as legal HD downloads, which is welcome to the future, George Lucas, is all I have to say about that. And there's been a Jurassic World clip that's been that's been released showing Chris Pratt being, as I said on Twitter, professional, because... We'd obviously don't objectify here in this podcast. And Bryce Dallas Howard, they had a nice little exchange. You can check that out on hypeable.com. And yeah, Google had some interesting plans for an anti-spoiler feature on their website, which you should go read about on Hypeable as well. So moving on now to show of the week. I think it's a good thing. I don't have a show this week. I figured I'd leave more space for Marima to talk about all caps Daredevil !20.
This is actually why I kind of want to go before Marima, because I feel like mine's going to be very short and concise.
Okay, go for it.
Yes. So for show of the week, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Jane the Virgin, because I feel like it's just... it's one of the most fun shows on television for me. I'm not sure if it's because half my family is from Latin America, so I grew up watching, like, telenovelas with my grandma. And so, like, to see all these tropes, like, obviously being made, like, fun of, you know, just in a good-hearted way on this show is just, like, so amusing to me. But even if you didn't like me, grew up watching those things, like, it's just such a fun little show. It's got the strangest title ever, but if you haven't checked it out, I think if you like comedy and you're a fan of just CW programming,
you know.
Yeah,
if you like comedy, if you like the one of the week.
No.
If you like laughing.
Yes, if you like laughing, you should check out Jane the Virgin. It's just they're in their stride right now. It's it's just a great little show, and obviously it's been getting a lot of press since Gina Rodriguez won the Golden Globe later last year. So it's definitely worth your time. And then that's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Can I talk about Daredevil now?
Yes, that's why I went first, because I was like, this is gonna take so much like less time than Miramax.
No
Daredevil.
One else has watched it though, and like,
I've only seen the pilot.
Well, I'm not gonna spoil it for anyone, but I So I was going to watch, we have to record Hero Hype, which is our superhero podcast. If you're into that, you can check that on hypeboard.com. We need to record that this week. And so I was going to watch a couple episodes of Daredevil just so we could have a talk about it. Somehow I watched all 13 episodes literally nonstop.
Wow.
I was up until 2 a.m. watching them, and I woke up the next day with what I can only describe as like a hangover from TV. I was like, oh, I'm so tired, and like, oh, everything hurts. What did I do this for? So yeah, I'm definitely too old to be doing that. But this show is so good. I can't overstate this. I would say like a realist, but some people could say a pessimist.
Who would never say that? God.
Yeah, who would say that? Crazy. But yeah, this show is crazy good. It's the first of the Netflix shows that Marvel has that is like Marvel's releasing on Netflix. So there were 13 episodes all released together. Then there's going to be three more series coming out, and then they're all building up to like a mini series that will involve the characters from all of them. So, you know, we kind of didn't have any idea what to expect because, like we talked about earlier, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was, you know, a little rocky, and Agent Carter was good, but, you know, short and sweet, as it were. And just the way that they release Netflix shows kind of often informs like the way that they tell the story, because you're getting it in one chunk rather than like week by week. So yeah, we had no idea. Also, I was not a big fan of Charlie Cox going into this, who is the lead in it. So I actually had very, very low expectations, and it totally blew me away. I don't even know, like, I don't know how to describe this. It's just a really amazing series. And even if you're not into superheroes, I would recommend that you check it out, because it's very grounded. It's obviously all of the Marvel shows relate to each other. They're all based in the same universe. So you'll hear them reference the Avengers, but it's really not like a fly around with a cape type of superhero show. And for those who don't know, Daredevil is kind of like a Bruce Wayne type, like a Batman type character who's trying to like save his city as a sort of solo venture, but he's blind. So that's kind of the twist on that. And yeah, it's so, so good. It's so beautifully filmed. The acting is amazing. It's really funny at times, but it's very, very dark, and like it's actually dark. It's not like promotional posters dark. It's pretty gruesome at times. So if you're not into that, you know, maybe it's not for you, but everyone should check it out because, oh, it blew my mind. And I'm so excited for the next shows that are coming on Netflix now. And I want to watch it all again immediately. Have I convinced you guys?
Well, can I ask you? Because you know that sure. I'm not that much of a superhero person.
I do know,
I guess. And I haven't grown up reading comics. Well, I read Donald Duck, but I guess that doesn't count.
we'll wait for the live action movie.
Yeah, oh my God, it's only a matter of time. But I want to ask, because there's so many shows that I should watch, and I, especially superhero shows, there's so many of them, and I'm really, my non-superhero obsessed brain is just like, what am I supposed to, my life, oh my God. So why should I, because you think this is an amazing show, so why, what will it give me of value to my life that I wouldn't get from watching any of the other superhero shows?
I think because, you know, a lot of the other shows kind of embrace I guess, like the camp nature of superhero. Like, you know, they're a little ridiculous and they sort of revel in that, which The Flash definitely does. Or they kind of try and be a little too dark and dramatic and a little over the top, which is what Arrow does. Or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which kind of suffers from, by necessity, needing to be the glue in the Marvel, like, mm-hmm. TV universe. It needs to connect the world of the Marvel movies with like what's happening on Marvel TV. What Daredevil does so well is it really balances like the references with the broader Marvel Cinematic Universe and like comic books and things. So you can watch this without having any idea of the background of the Daredevil comics or even like kind of what's going on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And you can still watch this and enjoy it because it's just a really, really good show, like outside of it being about superheroes or whatever. I mean, you can consider it, like, not really a superhero show. It's kind of, he's more of a vigilante, you know, in a way. So I would say if you approach it that way, the production value of Netflix shows is, like, crazy good. So it's just, That's true. A really beautiful show in that sense. But just, it's just better. Like, it's better in every way.
Does it have good characters?
Yeah, it's really nicely focused. It has a lot of fantastic characters from the comics, but it's updated them into much more interesting versions a lot of the time. Like, I've read some Daredevil comics, and I would say that the show is better than the comics that I have read. And the villain is better in the show. It's, you know, more layered, more complex. Mm-hmm. And I think even if you're not a superhero fan, like, if you're going to pick one show, this would be the show.
That's not, I think I kind of have, like, superhero fatigue at this point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just, there's too much.
Well, I know what
I like Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire as much as the next person. Yeah. But since then...
I think the thing is, like, for Hero Hype, you know, we have to watch, obviously, like, the TV shows that are on.
Of course.
And sometimes they're not great, but you kind of plow through. And so it was just so great to watch a show that, like, you were genuinely excited about. And it was actually, like, an amazing show. So, yeah, I just was so blown away by it. And I think it's really going to change what happens in sort of the world of, it's like the way, you know, how everyone keeps talking about Deadpool is really going to change superhero movies because it's so different. Like, that's what Daredevil is going to do for superhero TV shows.
Cool. That does sound awesome. I'm excited about that.
It's going to be great.
All right. So moving on now, we have a couple of more segments this week. We have How We Hype, which is where we talk about what we've been up to in fandom for the past week. And then we have our Hot and Hypeable segment and our wrap up, where we basically, like, squee about Game of Thrones. And then some listener feedback at the end. So for How We Hype, I guess I'm going to start off this week. It's not really that that relevant, but I guess I just want to brag that I finally finished 30 Rock, all 7 seasons of 30 Rock, and it's taken me a couple of months, and that's why I haven't watched anything else. I also read or listened to the audiobook for Bossy Pants, which is Tina Fey's book, which was written, I think, like, halfway through her making the show. And it's kind of funny because, like, some references, like, she makes a joke in the book and then, like, 2 seasons later in 30 Rock, she uses the same joke again. I just want to say I think Tina Fey is an amazing human being. I always thought that Amy Poehler was my favorite female comedian, but I might have to change that now. I think she's fantastic. 30 Rock was never going to be my type of show, and I think it's only because of Tina Fey that I stuck around with it, because it's, again, you know, I like my shows to be character-centric, and I like them to offer me a reason, you know, story arcs to care about that mean that I tune in from week to week to find out, you know, what happens to these people. 30 Rock isn't character-based, except for Tina Fey's Liz Lemon, who is probably, like, I feel so extremely connected to this character that just makes it all worth it. I'm glad I stuck it out.
I love Tina Fey, and 30 Rock is so, so clever.
Yeah, and it's definitely, I mean, it's definitely her. She's definitely the star of that show. I mean, obviously. but she's, you know, the character that kept me coming back. I'm so glad I watched it all. And now I can finally move on with my life. I think the next show, actually, I'm going to watch is iZombie, because of a certain actor that's going to be appearing on that show.
I'm so excited for you to watch.
Do you want to talk about that now?
I can, but I do want to make my music recommendation.
You can
too,
do both.
It means a lot to me. Okay, so yeah. So first of all, we should talk about iZombie, because this is more for Selena and my benefit than anyone else's. But Bradley James, who of course was one of the 2 stars of Merlin, is going to be on this week.
I love how you're like, oh,
we're really excited about that. You guys don't even understand. Like, we've been waiting for this kid, this man to get
this 35-year-old kid.
Yes. Yeah, it's just like Bradley James has either been very smart about picking roles since Merlin ended in 2012, or he's just been kind of sitting back and laying low. But either way, it's really exciting to hear. It's exciting to hear that he has landed himself another TV gig, because we've definitely missed him on our screens.
And we talked to Diane Ruggiero, who's one of the co-creators and writers on iZombie at WonderCon. And we asked her about his role, and she just had nothing but great things to say. If you want to check that out, it's up on Hypeable right now. So there's really no spoilers. It just kind of, there's not much about his character that has been released. So I guess nobody's really bothered to ask, or they've been keeping it hush hush.
But you did this interview, right?
I did do this interview, yeah. I couldn't resist asking. I felt like I had to take one for the Merlin fandom. And she was more than happy to talk a little bit about Bradley's role. He's playing this kind of like brooding musician. And the preview for this week's episode, which is actually out tomorrow in America, gives you a little bit of taste of what's to come. But it definitely sounds like he's going to be a recurring character of some sort. Not really sure how much of a role he's going to play in the upcoming episodes, but you'll definitely see a lot of him this Monday. So stay tuned for that if you're a Merlin fan. And it's a great time to catch up because there's only 4 episodes so far.
Okay, I will do that. Gosh.
Yes. But for my real recommendation, no music news, but I did want to recommend some kind of music thing to you guys if music tickles your fancy. I feel like there's always one band that everybody hangs on to from their adolescence, and this one is mine. The band is called All Time Low, and they just released a new album called Future Hearts. And if you have ever felt like lost in your life, or you're feeling lost now, then you need to listen to this album, because it's all about kind of just being young and reckless, but also knowing when it's time to pull yourself up and just push through to the next level. Alex Gasgarth, who is the lead singer and also writes a lot of the songs along with the band, he's like the major writer on the record, but or on all the records that they've released, but you know, the other guys help too. He just has a way of just speaking to my soul, and of course many other souls around the world. And yeah, I mean, just his music has always spoken to me, and I just think that they're such a wonderful band, and I'm really excited to see what the future holds for them. But for now, if you want to go sample that, I think you really should if you're a fan of rock. And yeah, if you just need a little uplifting kick, you should definitely go check that out. And if you want to talk more about All Time Low, you should tweet me, because I'm always happy to talk about them.
They sound amen.
They are. Don't judge.
Am I picking that up right from the name?
No, it's not like Taking Back Sunday emo, but I guess you technically like classify them as like pop punk, but not really. I don't know. It's really hard. Like, I feel like I don't like genres, because for the most part, like, they're not all encompassing. I don't. I feel like everybody should just create music, and they shouldn't be categorized into boxes. But I guess for all intents and purposes, they're alt pop punk rock ish.
I see.
But yeah, no like whining emo voices. Rock. Does that make sense?
Indeed.
Pam's like, it's not like, so let me name five.
Yeah, it's not like Dashboard Confessional emo. Like,
Confessional.
I do too, but I just, you know.
Okay. I like Fallout Boy. I just wanted to put that out there.
You know what? If you like Fallout Boy, you would like, it's not as dramatic, but you might like All Time Low.
Okay.
Fallout Boy, I like the band of my childhood, I would say.
Yeah, so All Time Low is mine, and yeah. I love them so much.
I also have a song to recommend this week, which was because, as I said, like, I spent 13 hours watching television yesterday, so today I really couldn't look at a screen without just wanting to fall on the floor. So instead I listened to the new Brandon Flowers song like approximately 25 times on repeat, because it's so catchy. It's called Still Want You. He's got a new solo album coming out in May called The Desired Effect. He is, of course, the frontman of The Killers. And I feel like a lot of people are saying this sounds a lot more like The Killers than like The Killers' last two albums did. So if you're a Killers fan, you'll probably appreciate this. But man, it's a good song. It's just really catchy. I love his voice, so I just like listening to him. But yeah, I don't know why. I just really got like obsessed with this song after like one listen. So I listened to it on repeat for like an hour and a half.
That's true nice. Start. I'm glad we can bring some music recommendation into the show.
Always. Yeah. And you know what? I found that as a good cure for like if you've watched too much TV, just like find some really good music that you like listening to and just like have a forced break and like just listen to some music and just don't look at anything. Just like close your eyes and enjoy it.
A good time. All the time. It's the best way, like second best way to sample albums. The first is to just drive around and give it the car test. But
yeah.
Or in my case, the bike test.
Well, that works too. You're still in
motion. I totally do the bike test as well.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Okay, so one of our final segments of the day is Hot on Hypeable, which is Marima's list.
Yes. So I don't know if I've mentioned this or not, but I really enjoyed Daredevil. Let me tell you more about it. obviously, I think I've given you guys like the sales pitch, but we did have a lot of content on Hypeable this week themed around Daredevil because, you know, we were all very excited about it. So the good news is we have you covered from like any possible type of fan that you could be. So if you are new to Daredevil, you can check out Daredevil for Dummies, a pre-Netflix primer, which tells you everything you need to know about it. And then we also have, we kind of forced one of our writers to watch the terrible 2003 Daredevil movie, which I don't think you should even force on your worst enemy. But anyway.
Did you see there was an Everything Wrong With video for that? It was really funny.
I mean, I wouldn't even want to watch that. Like, just I like to pretend it doesn't exist. So if you're curious about how the two might connect, we have an article about the things that Marvel's series should change from the film and maybe a couple things that it should keep. And then we also have our spoiler-free review of Daredevil online. So if I haven't convinced you yet, you can check that out. That's a review of the first three episodes. For those people who have watched the series, we have the Daredevil Easter eggs that you may have missed, which I wrote at about an hour 12 of my watch. And then about halfway through the final episode, I wrote, we found Stan Lee's Daredevil cameo because he, of course, does a cameo in like every Marvel property. And his Daredevil one is very well hidden. So if you haven't spotted it yet, you can check that article out. And we've got a nice picture for you to show you where it is and in which episode and at what time and all of the above. And then finally, if you watched Daredevil and you really enjoyed it and you're thinking maybe you'd like to check out some of the comics, even though I feel like I kind of may have discouraged you from doing that earlier in the show, we have some must-read comic book recommendations for Daredevil newbies. So don't feel intimidated. That's like a basic reading list of where to get started. And that's actually based on a segment that we do on Hero Hype every week. So if you are looking for comic book recommendations, you can check out Hero Hype as well as this article on Hypeable. And then keeping to TV, we also had a lot of Game of Thrones articles this week. The premiere may have happened by the time this episode goes online, but you may not have seen it yet. So we had some articles about where we left off our favorite characters, if you need to do a little bit of a recap, because, you know, last season was a little while ago. And then also we have the things that we want to see in the premiere and the things that you can expect to see in the premiere, because one of our lucky staff members has already seen it. And then my personal favorite, Bed, Wed, or Behead, the Game of Thrones edition, which is another fun party game, also known as, I can't say that word, marry, kill, where we got some of our staff members on Hypeable to answer which of the houses they would bed, which ones they would wed, and which ones they would behead. And it is very, very funny. And Selena, you were participating in that, I know. So,
I was. Yeah. That was fun. Really yeah. hard, but really fun. And I cannot believe that I mistook my boy Gendry for a stone when he is clearly a Waters. Apologies yeah, so to the world.
So embarrassing for you. But even if you're not a fan of Game of Thrones, you know what? You should read that article because it's very funny. And there's enough context. You'll get it. And then, as always, we have a lot of great interviews up on Hypeable. This week we had interviews with Tatiana Maslany and Ari Millen of Orphan Black. We also talked to Graham McTavish and Gary Lewis from Outlander. And then on the book side, I interviewed Becky Albertalli, who wrote Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, which I talked about, I think, two episodes ago, which was a really fun interview talking about like representation, diversity in young adult fiction. And then other fun things, we were on the set of The Longest Ride, so if you want to know about that, we have a set visit report. And then we were also at an Avengers Age of Ultron press conference, and we talked to Joss Whedon and many of the cast. So I don't know who like, everyone should be excited about that. And you can read that full report on hyperball.com along with all those articles. And that should be enough to keep you going until next week.
For sure. Or until tonight when the Game of Thrones fever will strike.
True across the that. World. Yes.
That's pretty much the biggest thing. We're recording this on Sunday morning, which means that we can't talk about Game of Thrones, but rest assured that we will talk about that next week. And to wrap up the show today, we just want to say we got some listener feedback. We really appreciate this. First of all, it's nice to know that people are listening since we came back with the new format, and we're glad to hear that you guys seem to really enjoy the new format. So our first message is from Mario Padilla, who said on Twitter, "I just started reading Ready Player One and I'm loving it. Thanks for the suggestion, Marima, and Hypeable Podcast." I agree. Thank you for the suggestion, Marima. It was great. I hope everyone
I feel like technically
book.
Pam recommended it
because
she was reading
actually.
It.
Actually. You know,
but
you say
I had already
you know what?
It before Pam, so I would
that
take the credit.
That is true. You can take the credit. Also, I feel like you're the resident bookie on this podcast, so your seal of approval means a little bit more than mine. I don't have the street cred you have.
I see.
Yes.
So the next one, that was to you, Marima. What does it say?
Yeah, Kat Smith said she just listened to Hype episode Katniss Dance Battle, which is a great title.
Thanks.
And what is the name of the book you recommended? I didn't catch it. And that book was Finnegan of the Rock by Melina Marchetta.
How
and that
you
was
spell
the book.
Finnegan?
Finnegan, Finnikin.
Oh, so like Finnick.
Yeah, like Finnick in. And that was a book I claimed was better than Harry Potter. So, yeah, big call. Yeah, but I'm glad you sound like you want to check it out. Mm. So you'll have to let us know once you've read it. Hopefully, like Mario, you appreciate the suggestion.
Oh. And Pam, do you want to get the final comment?
Bridget, from our show notes post on hypeable.com, which you can also comment on. It's a great place to leave rather lengthy comments too, because we know sometimes all your thoughts don't fit into 140 characters. So she says, "Hey, Hype, I just like to say that I love the new format of
hey,
the show.
Hey, Hype, I like that.
I love the segment How We Hype, and I appreciate the diversity of news stories, especially since you added some Ooh. Music news. I've got your back, Pam, winky face. Thank you, Bridget. You might be the only one, but I
no,
will continue on.
No, we all
on.
Love it. Seriously.
Hey. That's good. That's
Pam's
good.
Like playing the mod act yeah. as no, if no, we're not no. all like into it.
I love that you guys are into it. Yeah, if there's music news, I will continue to bring it to you.
Pam anyway, is so basically says, like, well, everyone hates music, but I will.
I look forward to more episodes. Hey, you know what? In my defense, before I got here, you guys never did music
that's
news.
That's true, but that's because we didn't have you.
Yeah.
Music is all-encompassing. Anybody can listen to music.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So, no, I know you guys love the music news too. Yeah. So, but yes, I'm glad that the listeners are enjoying it and... That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, please keep writing your thoughts on our show, and we will continue to respond to it and change anything that needs to be changed. Also, if you have any recommendations for news stories that you want us to talk about, you may have noticed at this point that we all are in charge. Basically, everyone is in charge of three stories that gets on the show, so it's very much open to suggestion. Please give us suggestions for that so we can bring up the stuff that you want to talk about, not just the stuff that we want to talk about. Until next week, please visit hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. Follow us on Twitter at hypeable or at hypeable podcast, and tweet us your thoughts. I'm Selena.
I'm Marima.
And I'm Pamela.
And I'm Kyle. Yeah.
I like that Kyle has this, like,
the fast time we
yeah, boys. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's look at that. So, let's just... That was the end.
The end.
I can cut that. That's fine. I can fade it out. Um and then we can.
Where's Kyle?
And I need to go to sleep because, like, I have to get up and do Hero Hype.
And
in, like,
I have the flu.
So.
We're all like, "Where's Kyle?" All right,
let's just do it. Yeah, I'll like take your stories or something.
Yeah, it's fine. I was thinking we can just split the stories.
Was it 6 a.m. his idea?
Yeah,
yes. I can do Ian McKellen.
Yeah, I'll get the whichever one you don't want.
I could probably do Nita Dobrev, but like I have not caught up on Vampire Diaries. Like,
I think you've seen more than me, so you're fine. And I'll get HBO now, which is ironic because I can't get it, but screw that.
Yeah.
It's okay. I already, you know, like, I just realized, like, when I said I would take that Lumos story, I was like, I have no idea what the fuck Lumos is. I'm like, I'm a bad Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Let's just like race through the news and then I can talk about Daredevil for like half an hour. So that will be great.
Okay, let's do that.
All right, let's just wing it. Let's just do it. Girl power. Okay. Girl power.
It's going
to
be great.
Yeah. Well,
we have
come
some
on.
Good stories. I'm actually excited for this episode.
Me
this
too.
This makes my morning so much better because it started off so shit.
You know, it's
I can't believe you thought that like Pam's Luma story is more exciting than Eddie Redmayne.
You know what? I can't believe you thought my Luma story.
You
was
know
more
what?
Exciting.
I just tried not to make Merrima
first.
Just
decided I wasn't going first. I just thought that she was like Merrima can't go first for like the fourth time.
That's exactly what it was.
Me. You know what? You need to put this as, I hope you're recording because this is like the perfect outro.